Have you ever heard of John Wolvard? That is who we're going to examine on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we're currently on our show doing an interesting series where we're examining some of the theology of various theologians from Dallas Theological Seminary between 1965 and 1990. This was a time of very influential Bible teachers, and one of the ones who we're looking at is John Wolvard. Now, today is the third part of a three-part subsection of this series, and if you'd like to hear the previous episodes, you can go to faithalone.org. Let's go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're discussing what Dallas Theological Seminary taught about salvation between 1965 to 1990. As a kid growing up in Montreal, I was reading these books, and these guys were my theological heroes. And I think you started at Dallas Seminary when I was born.
78,
1978.
Yeah.
And so Bob was at Dallas Seminary and being taught by these guys. That school has a great legacy, and we'll only know in eternity just how much of an impact that school had on the world.
Right.
And we were just discussing John Wolvard, one of my favorite theologians, especially on prophecy. And we were discussing what he believed about salvation and faith and the content of saving faith. Although he said several times, you know, it's by faith apart from works. Once we start reading about how he defined faith, things get a little more confusing, a little more controversial.
We were ending the last time mentioning that he's got an elevator illustration we could talk about today.
Right. In this book, What We Believe, he said, simply assenting to the fact of the gospel and believing mentally that Jesus died for the sins of the world does not result in salvation and is not really what can be called saving faith. So this is kind of a danger. This is kind of my red light starts going off.
Right.
When people start saying, no, mental assent is not enough. Because
right.
If what else is required?
Right.
If you can't just believe with your mind that something is true, then what else is required? And usually at this point, this is when a theologian will start saying you need works.
Right. Although what you're going to find with Dr. Wolvard is he denies that it's works, but he says it's more than intellectual assent. It's
right.
More than just believing. You got to do something.
Right. So on page 88 of his book, What We Believe, he says faith must be an act of the whole person. So it can't just be mental assent. It has to be an act of the whole person. And he goes on to write, it may involve not only the mind, but the feelings or sensibility. And most of all, it involves the will, for faith is actually a step authorized by our will. And he goes on to say, faith is the sole requirement for salvation, but it is faith in which all the elements combine. That is, it is an act of human will and the human mind and the human capacity for emotion.
It seems to me there's a lot of confusion there.
Man, can you imagine how let's just take the emotional part of it. Jesus says, whoever believes has everlasting life and will never perish. Whoever believes in me has everlasting life. You believe that. But are you saved? Well, according to Wolvard, it's not enough to just believe Jesus' promise. You have to have an emotional reaction to it. Well, what kind of emotional reaction? How emotional do you need to be?
And on top of that, you have to have some sort of willful decision. I don't know what it is. And this is where, you know, Lordship Salvation people will take the same three ideas of faith, which comes from, I think, a false understanding of faith.
Right.
They make much more of it than Dr. Wolvard does. But even he, with this elevator illustration, introduces a level of confusion.
Right. So now suddenly we're a little bit confused because it's not enough to believe with your mind. You have to have an emotional reaction to the saving message, and you have to have some type of a willful decision. And then he says this, biblical belief is more accurately expressed as trust or committing oneself to faith in Christ. So now you have commitment.
And trust, which oftentimes is not the same as faith. It introduces some confusion. What's the difference between trust and faith?
Yeah.
If it's not the same thing, okay, what is it?
He uses this illustration on page 87 of his book. It's an elevator illustration. And he says, the difference between simply believing and committing yourself to faith in Christ, and remember, he's saying you need to commit yourself to faith, is kind of like getting on an elevator. Here's what he says. He, quote, faith would mean that he stepped in the elevator and put his weight into it and committed himself to its mechanical perfections. Likewise, there is more than mere assent in the matter of believing in Jesus. Saving faith involves the work of the Spirit as well as the whole person, intellect, sensibility, and will. So basically, the point of his illustration is to believe, you need to get in the elevator.
Right, and that's, we've talked about this on previous shows. This is the same as Blondell's Niagara Falls wheelbarrow illustration. To believe, you got to get in the wheelbarrow. It's the same as the chair illustration. If you really believe, you got to sit in the chair. And what we've said before is, if this was like saving faith, the moment you believe the elevator could take you from the floor you're on to the floor you wanted to go to, you'd simply appear on that other floor. Because if the only condition was believing, you wouldn't have to get in the elevator.
Right.
You would already have gone from the elevator all the way to the floor and just appear.
Right.
Same thing with the chair, same thing with the tightrope and the wheelbarrow. The problem with this is it's introducing a huge layer of confusion. And can't you see how a person would say, well, I wonder if I'm really safe. Did I really get in the elevator?
Am I in the elevator now? Am I going?
How do I know I'm in the elevator?
Right. If you're going to illustrate salvation as getting in an elevator, that's a great illustration for salvation by works. You know, you believe the elevator can do it, and you get in. So you believe, and you do. That's a great illustration for salvation by works.
But that's not what Walvoord means.
But it's a horrible illustration for salvation by faith apart from works, which is what he's supposed to be teaching.
Right.
And in fact, I have this last quote. It's from page 88 of his book, What We Believe. It is not faith plus works, but faith that produces works that results in the salvation of an individual. And so to me, that completely upends everything that he said about it's by faith alone and God's favor is given to us apart from works. He has just said you can only be saved by faith that produces works, which is the same thing as saying works is a condition of salvation, isn't it?
Well, he's not going to say that, but it is very confusing. And part of the problem is he's now got a special kind of faith, some kind of faith that produces works as compared to a faith that doesn't produce works.
How many works do you need to have this living faith? We quoted him in an earlier episode saying it is absolutely wrong to say that the continuance of your salvation depends on continuing to do works. But here he's saying you don't have real faith without it producing works.
And he did go on to talk about lordship salvation, right? And he didn't agree with lordship salvation, right?
He says, in an effort to distinguish true faith from mere assent, some have found it necessary to add requirements to the single requirement of faith for salvation. In keeping with this goal, they've required a person who wants to be saved to accept the lordship of Christ and the promise to serve the Lord from then on. And this has been made a prerequisite to faith. This view is contradicted in Scripture, where works follow faith but do not precede it. So what Walvoord is saying, what I understand him to be saying, is the problem with lordship salvation is it requires works to come before faith, whereas Walvoord thinks the answer is works have to follow faith. Is that what you understand?
Right. And, of course, modern lordship salvation teachers today, like someone like Wayne Grudem or John Piper or John MacArthur, they all would say, no, you don't have to do good works in order to be saved. You must do good works if you are saved.
Right.
The faith that saves is not alone. And so they're going to more or less. Now, he did say, of course, in the quote you gave, that some of these people would say you must promise to serve the Lord. And Walvoord's saying you don't have to do that.
Except,
but yet, if you don't have to do it, why is it that we're going to tell the unbeliever that if they really believe, they're going to work?
Right.
And, I mean, I guess he's not going to do this in evangelism. He's just doing it in the book.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. And elsewhere he said, you know, that genuine faith is commitment to Christ. It's a commitment of faith to Christ. So isn't that like a promise to serve?
And some sort of volitional element.
Right.
Yeah, it's all confusing. And that was something that evangelicals in many quarters live with today, this kind of thinking. And one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to make people understand or help people understand that everlasting life is simply by faith in Christ apart from works and no guarantee of works, and that discipleship is distinct. And that, yes, we should live holy lives and we should produce lives full of good works.
Right.
But not in order to be saved or to prove we're saved.
Yeah.
But in order to have the Lord's approval and to have eternal rewards and to hear well done someday. But that our eternal destiny is secure the moment we believe in Jesus for the salvation he promises.
So my conclusion for Walvoord's theology was that I thought it was a mixed message. I don't want to condemn everything about it, right?
Right.
It was a mixed message. You can read some passages and you can take away, yeah, it's apart from works. It is by faith. It's totally by God's grace, which is his favor shown to us apart from works. You'll find those passages in Walvoord. But then if you dig a little deeper, you'll also find passages that seem to contradict that, saying, well, it's not enough to just believe. You need to believe with your whole person. You need to, your will has to be involved. You have to get onto the elevator. You need to, you can only be saved by a faith that produces works. You don't stay saved by producing works. You know, that's wrong. But somehow you can only be saved at all by a faith that produces works. And that's a contradiction.
And you can see how Dallas Theological Seminary graduates who sat under men like Dr. Walvoord might come out with a similar message. And they might end up in having a message which was confusing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Lordship salvation, but it wasn't crystal clear that it's by faith apart from works, at least not faith understood as simply being persuaded or convinced.
Right.
But you get into some sort of confusing, hard to understand position, mm-hmm. and you could see how a person sitting under this kind of teaching would struggle.
Right. Have you struggled with that? Is this the type of confusing message that you've heard? On one hand, we're saved by faith apart from works. On the other hand, you need works to have faith. If you're confused about that and you want to know what the clear saving message is, the clear condition of salvation is, let me recommend two resources to you at our website. One is a booklet written by Bob called You Can Be Sure. And you can get that, I think, for free on our website and order one copy for like 25 cents, something very
nominal. And you can read it on the website.
And yeah. You can read it for free on the website. And I'd also like to recommend my book to you. It's called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. It's by me, Sean Lazar. And I think both of those resources, and we have hundreds of other articles on our site all about the same topic, that can lead you to a clear and sure faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to examine Dwight Pentecost's view of eternal salvation, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.